The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The word of God for the people of God.
What would it take for you to die a satisfied and peaceful person? Maybe a little bit more cushion in the retirement fund? How about your kids? We all want well-educated, well-rounded children, right? I meet so many parents in our church that tend to be living for their kids. And if you're a parent, you tend to think, man, if I can just provide a little bit better for my kids, if my kids can have it just a little bit better than I did, advance them a little bit. How about leaving a lasting imprint on whatever it is you do vocationally? Maybe you're at the med center, and so, man, you are working your tail off in the research area so that you could be known for something. That would be satisfying, wouldn't it? Or your firm, or your partnership. How about for you? What would it take to die satisfied and peaceful? Today in our text, in Luke chapter 2, we meet a man who is deeply satisfied and deeply at peace. In fact, even resigns himself to God and says, "Lord, now I can die." Provocative statement. My name is Dusty White. I'm one of the pastors that gets to serve here at Coram Deo Church. It's a joy to be with you on Christmas Eve, a white Christmas. How about that? Yeah. Christmas is a lot of fun. I came home on Thursday and there was sugar cookies everywhere. Not really at the table anymore. They had kind of migrated throughout the house. And so I jumped in. Most kids had aprons on, and so I jumped in. I made one cookie and then proceeded to eat about 10 of those sugar cookies, and my kids were taking them to neighbors and things like that. It was a lot of fun. Christmas is a lot of fun. And this Advent, we have been looking at the four songs of Christmas recorded in the Gospel of Luke, like Justin mentioned, and today we're looking at the last song of Christmas, Simeon's song. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We just heard it read, verses 25 through 32. Here's who Simeon is. He's most likely an older gentleman. He's not a high priest. He's not clergy. He's not a pastor. I'm telling you that because we meet him at the temple. We meet him at the church in Luke chapter 2. He's just an older guy who loves God. He has a deep dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And we learn from the scriptures, we gather from the scripture that he is devout, he's righteous, and he's from Jerusalem. And although we can't tell exactly how old he is, for context's sake, let's just say in our day and age, Simeon is about 80 plus. Now, there's something inspiring about meeting a guy who's 80 plus, isn't there? I just turned 38 last week, and I appreciate old guys a lot. I appreciate old guys for a couple of reasons. One reason is just really simple. They've been through life. And so they've been through different generations and different decades. And it seems to me when I interact with a guy who's 75, 80 plus, he's just not as worried about as many things as I am. He's lived a life. He's figured out that it's not worth worrying about. And he's worried about different kinds of things in his last few years of life. Maybe his last 15. But there's something different, isn't there, about meeting an old guy than meeting a wise sage. There's old guys, and then there's wise sages. And Simeon is a wise sage. He's the kind of guy that when you meet him or you run into him, you walk away deeply encouraged because he genuinely loves God, and he's preoccupied with things that matter. And that's who Simeon is, and we pick up his song in Luke chapter 2. Here's what's happened so far in Luke chapter 2, and here's what's about to happen. Jesus was born to Joseph and Mary. The shepherds came, they glorified God, they praised God, they sang a song. We reflected on that song last week through Pastor Justin's sermon. They name him Jesus because that's the name the angels gave to Mary and Joseph to give to him. They do a few customary things. Customary things back then would be circumcised on the eighth day, and then, like good Christian parents do, they bring him to church for a baby dedication. They're 8 days into parenting, they're doing it right, and according to the law of the Lord, they bring a sacrifice and they bring their baby because they want to obey God. They show up at church just like you did today. They show up at the front door, and before they even get to the front, so if this is the church, this isn't what Simeon was in, right? But if this is the church, before they even get to the front to present baby Jesus to the Lord, Simeon greets them at the door, grabs their baby, and starts singing a song. Now, a lot of things have happened miraculously so far to Mary and Joseph, so they're not totally taken back. But who is the old guy that just swoops up baby Jesus and starts singing a song? We're about to understand that song. Here's what Simeon sings. He shows us three important truths about the Lord Jesus and this baby that's born at Christmas. Three simple things. Jesus brings peace, Jesus brings salvation, and Jesus brings light. So grab Simeon's songbook with me, Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, and let's look at the song he sang, and let's be encouraged, church. Here's the words that he sang. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. He's saying, now I can depart. According to your word, he had been promised this before. For my eyes have seen your salvation, he's holding baby Jesus, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Jesus brings peace. He brings it to Simeon in Luke chapter 2, and he can bring it to us today. Look how he begins this song. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. He blesses God, he praises God, and he says, I can die a satisfied and peaceful man because Jesus brings peace. Peace and conflict are mega themes in Scripture. All throughout here, we see peace and conflict going on, and it's going on in our lives too, isn't it? Peace and conflict are always at war, it feels like. And probably, more than any other important time of the year, it's appropriate time to remember and reflect today and tomorrow and this season that God is the God of peace, His Son is the Prince of Peace, and His Spirit brings you peace. We're all longing for peace. All of us. First line of Simeon's song is an invitation to us today to realize that Jesus can bring us the peace that we're longing for. He can bring it in different facets to your life. He can bring saving peace to you. He can bring ongoing inner peace, a sense of resolve inside of you. He can enable you to relational peace. I think it's interesting around Christmas time where our relational conflict tends to be a little bit thicker, doesn't it? Jesus can bring relational peace. Moreover, he also guarantees Christians everywhere that they can have situational peace, circumstantial peace, because of 2 Peter 3, verse 13, it says this, a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness is where Christians will dwell. Peace is a big deal to God, and it's also a big deal to us. We have this hardwired reality and desire for peace. We need peace with God. And peace with God doesn't just come naturally. It doesn't come automatically. All of us have sinned. We've alienated ourselves from Him. And our sin has stained and messed up our fellowship with God. That's the unfortunate news at Christmas, friends. But the good news is that Jesus brings peace through Jesus, and he made it possible through his life, death, and resurrection so that we could partake in peace. And then ultimately, Jesus became the supreme peacemaker by sacrificing his own life so that we could have peace with God and peace with others through the blood of the cross. Because of Jesus, we can have peace. I asked you at the beginning, what would it look like for you to die satisfied and at peace? Do you have peace today? Do you have inner peace? Do you have peace with yourself? Or are you tied up, conflicted, in knots? We all agree that we want peace. We all agree that we need peace, but it eludes so many of us. Genuine internal peace is a gift that God gives us, and it is also a byproduct of walking with Christ in righteousness. That's how we obtain it. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves is a package deal. And the package is Jesus at Christmas. He comes to us humbly in a manger, and then he begins to change the entire peace, conflict, and war narrative in our life and in the narrative of Scripture. And it is incredibly encouraging. So if you're at peace with God and others this morning, then I would encourage you to just join Simeon's song and start praising the Lord. If you find yourself in turmoil or conflict or in knots this Christmas Eve, hear the proclamation from Scripture in Luke chapter 2 this morning that Jesus is the peace that you're longing for, and he is the free gift under the tree, so don't leave it unwrapped. Peace Jesus brings to you. Jesus also brings salvation. One of Simeon's lines is, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He's beholding Jesus. He's got baby Jesus in his hands. He's saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation." God has been on a mission up until this point to save his people. He sent mediators. He sent kings to rule his people and to lead his people. He sent judges to rule his people. He sent prophets to warn his people. And now, in this moment, God has sent his very own son. Became a humble baby. Took on flesh, born into the world to save the world. God brought his son, saved us from our rebellion, and he's born in a manger, and then everything changes from there. In the first few pages of the Bible, we learn that Adam and Eve had it all. Everything was blissful, everything was amazing, and then only into the third chapter of the Bible, everything starts falling onto the ground like fine china, and we've been trying to pick up the pieces ever since. And God sends his son in to save us from our wandering and in our floundering because we're looking for salvation. And in our floundering, we've been trying to save ourselves, and God gives us his son, Jesus. And Simeon holds Jesus and says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." You see, Simeon didn't think cynically for a minute or logically and go, "Well, what's the theology of salvation right now? I need to think this through." He's holding Jesus. He's interacting with Jesus. This is a personal experience because salvation is personal. Salvation is personal because Jesus is personal. Let me ask you this morning, have you simply heard about God saving his people, or have you personally been saved by God? There's a big difference, right? I mean, we all know Christians who proclaim to be saved by God, and it's another thing to personally be saved by God. Have you experienced him saving you personally? I'm not talking about your interactions with family who have walked with Christ and been baptized, or maybe friends who are kind of like uber Christians, it seems. But how about you personally? Have you been saved by Christ? Salvation is personal. It's not abstract, mysterious. When you encounter Christ, he changes you forever. And it's actually the kind of change you're looking for. I know that change kind of freaks you out for a moment. We just had a sermon series here at Cormdale Church on change, and change just gets a little, I don't know about change. But change is, this is the kind of change you're actually wanting. Jesus brings change into your life. Your desires change. Your hope changes because you actually get hope. Your perspectives change because now you have a heavenly perspective. You have something and somebody worth living for. Your fear of death begins to change because you're no longer afraid of dying. You get to be with Jesus in the flesh. Everything changes in an exhaling way. It's kind of like this. Simeon's song is also called a song of resignation, according to other commentators, which is interesting because there's nothing more free than just resigning yourself to God's saving grace and resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That changes everything. Jesus brings peace, he brings salvation, and finally, Jesus brings light. I've been doing some remodeling work at our house. We bought an older farmhouse, and so every now and then we're remodeling something. There's like these ongoing projects, and one of the things that always is coming up is electrical work. And no matter what I'm doing, I always am running into some sort of crazy electrical thing. And so, like, I can get by a little bit on remodeling and, you know, a little bit overconfident in certain areas probably. And then when I run into electricity, though, I start to just get a little wigged out. I think what I want to do as an electrician is I want to walk over to the switch and turn that on. That's electricity to me. But when you're remodeling and you're remodeling an older house that's built in 1920s and you're like up in the rafters of your house and you find live wires that are just like hot wires and they're just like laying on drywall and insulation, you start to go, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. And so you start calling electricians to come in and figure that kind of work out. And here's what I don't understand about electricians. I don't know if electricians do it differently, but here's what I have to do. I have to shut all the lights off and flip the breaker and then make sure the breaker's flipped and then go check the breaker again so that we don't get buzzed when we're doing electrical work. And then, like, it's dark. So you're trying to work in a dark room on lights. It just seems very counterintuitive. I don't know if electricians do it different. All the electricians in the room are nervous right now about my house. But you have to, like, You either have to work in the dark and make your eyes adjust to that reality, or you're running extension cords and pulling lights from other rooms and things like that. Either way, your eyes can adjust a little bit to get the work done, but when you're running new wires and running new work and running new switches and stuff like that, you have to adjust a little bit to the work environment that you're in. And by God's common grace, all of us are able to see a little bit. All of us are able to see. We can comprehend truth about the world. We can learn things. We can grow in things. We can master certain crafts. But without the light of Christ, we can't see fully. We can't see clearly. We can't see crisply. And when Jesus comes and he flips on the lights and he saves you, you can start to see truth from lies. And you can start to see righteousness from unrighteousness. And you can start to see things that are worth being frustrated and angry about and things that just actually don't matter and become pretty self-focused. When Jesus changes your life and he flips on the lights, everything changes because you can start to see clearly. And all throughout Advent, this is what it's all about. Every week, Mike lights a candle on the Advent wreath and it's a celebration, it's a representation that Christ is coming. He's coming closer. Darkness is fading. Light is getting brighter because God is light. And for centuries, the church has been reciting the Nicene Creed. This is what it confesses about Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus Christ as God of God and light of light. Jesus is light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. John 1, 5 proclaims, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isaiah 60, verse 20 tells us, the Lord will be our everlasting light. Jesus is light. In Jesus, we see God's eternal light. He illuminates our souls, and in Christ Jesus, the lights actually never go out. There is a real good chance that you might be here this morning just to hear that piece. just to hear the invitation of God saying, hey, step out of darkness and stop squinting and instead experience the light of Christ so that you can see the life that you're actually longing for a little bit more clearly. If you aren't a Christian here this morning and you want to test this out, I would offer you two options. First of all, just pick up a Bible and start reading the Gospel of John. It's in the New Testament towards the back. Start reading the Gospel of John and see if the lights don't come on for you in that. I would also invite you to one of our gospel communities here at Coramdale. We meet here, obviously, on Sundays, but all throughout the week, all throughout the city, we're scattered all over the place. And you don't have to look a certain way and be a certain person to attend those gospel communities. We welcome you right where you are. We're going to give you space and time, as Pastor Justin said earlier. And just start to see in that type of community if things get a little bit more clear spiritually for you. You can bring all of your questions there. You can bring all of your hang-ups there. And you can just be there forever if you want. Simeon's song is a worshipful and God-glorifying song that reminds us that Jesus is peace, Jesus is salvation, and Jesus is the light. Simeon was a changed man because of those truths, and he was preoccupied with Christ. What would it look like for us? As I've been preparing for this particular sermon, this particular Sunday, I've been reflecting on, man, what would it look like for me to be preoccupied with Christ? What would it look like for me to anticipate meeting him? What would it look like for me to behold him? What would it look like for us to be preoccupied, especially over the next couple of days? Tonight as you're gathering with family, tomorrow as the traditions unfold, what would it look like for us as the church to be preoccupied with Jesus Christ, the wonder and the beauty of Jesus? What would it look like for you if you don't worship Jesus and you're just here receiving the space and the time that this church can give you? What would it look like to receive the peace, salvation, and light of Christ, not in a religious way at all, but in a personal way? This Christmas, this Advent, friends, may the peace, salvation, and light of Jesus rest on us, and may we be preoccupied with the spiritual significance that this holy, mysterious, and remarkable season called Advent is here. It's God's gift to us. Would you join me as I pray for us? God, we realize that you bring peace, salvation, and light, and we confess even now as we reflect on it and as we hear Simeon's song that we're not always preoccupied with you. We're caught up in our own agendas. We're caught up in ourselves. We look to different things throughout the day to bring us peace and satisfaction. And so, God, we ask now in this moment that you would not just remind us about peace and salvation and light, but that you would make it personal to each one of us, especially now as we come to the communion table. God, thank you so much for this particular season, this Advent season, this slower season in the church. Thank you for this particular gathering. Thank you for these friends, these folks. And God, I want to ask that you would help us to be preoccupied with the beauty and the mystery of Jesus Christ as we gather tonight with friends and family and tomorrow with friends and family and all throughout this week. God, would you be glorified in your church? Would you be advanced in our city? And would you be honored? We pray these things in your name. Amen.